You're not gonna say it, somebody should. Let's talk about two time. Let's talk about bum one, yeah. Asking the questions that nobody could. Like, where are the bone thugs and are they in harmony? You're a helpful snowman.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to another radio show where I'm on the radio road, the Fury Road, as it were. I feel like that's a joke that I make every time and then think it's new every time, but it's probably not. Well, since the last time we talked, I've got my scheduled colonoscopy, so that's on Monday, day after Mother's Day. I had to call my mom and be like, hey, you want to do like a Mother's Day thing? And like, hey, how about we do it not on Mother's Day? Because, you know, I can't really leave my home after 1 in the afternoon. I just told her, I was like, for gross reasons, we don't need to talk about. Because, you know, it's your mom. I was like, I don't want her to worry about these things. I know that, like, she's your mom, right? So she's going to worry about shit. But, There's no use worrying about it. I mean, I'm not going to say there's nothing to worry about, because it's like, yeah, I guess when you go under anesthesia or whatever, anything could happen. Someone asked, too, like, what if you woke up with a colostomy bag? And I was like, I don't know, man. I guess I'd hang with it for a little while and decide if I should just blow my brains out. They were like, well, I've heard this happens, but it's, like, temporary for, like, a month. And I was like, oh, I mean, that would probably be fine, right? I really think if that happened, if I woke up and I had a colostomy bag and they're like, you're going to have this for a month, I would probably call my boss and be like, here's the situation. I'm crapping in a bag and I've got 300 and some sick hours, so I'm not going to come into work for the next month because I'm going to use about half of my sick time that I have, so not a huge amount. And you know, if having a bag of crap strapped to your leg doesn't count as an optional time to take sick time, I don't know what does. If that doesn't qualify, if not being able to crap out of my butt, it doesn't qualify as something going physically wrong. I mean, I would rather work with a cold or something, right, than a fucking colostomy bag. You know, no offense to anyone who may have one on the permanence. Like, that's why it's two different questions, right? If I had to have a colostomy bag forever, you're like, well, I guess you have to figure out how to live with it. But if you're having it for a month, I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'll just play some Dead Space this month. Maybe I will take a little time off. I've had this kind of new philosophy with time, sick time, which is like, you know, as most of you know, I enjoy a jogging habit, a running habit, and run most days. And there, once upon a time, there was a sharp distinction between days where I'm like, I feel like good enough to go back to work. But there's no way, you know, by the end of the day, I'm going to be real exhausted and I'm not going to go exercise that day, right? Now I kind of feel like that means you're still sick and don't go to work. You know what I mean? Like, that means you're not ready to live your life yet. So maybe you should take another day off. So anyway, so we scheduled some stuff with my mom. My mom is like most of my family in that, you know, I texted her and was like, so how about Saturday, you know, and we can kind of do whatever you want, or I can decide something to do if you want, like, let me know. And then she just texts me back and says, sure. And I was like, okay, sure is not really an answer to the question. I mean, the general idea of, like, we should... Okay, now I know that generally she's, like, game to do something for Mother's Day. You know what I mean? And I'm like, okay. Well, that's awesome. But other than that, I'm a little bit at a loss of, like, so, sure, Saturday? Sure for, you know... Sure what? Sure what? God damn it. But we're going to go. We're going to go at 8 a.m. There's a, I think it's a refugee march or something like that. March for refugees. I don't think it's like a refugee march. That makes it sound like they're being marched to somewhere, like a Trail of Tears or something. This is a support march, which you pay for because I guess that supports something. Anyway, she's like, how about we go to that and then we go eat something? And you can pay for my entrance into the march, and that'll be my sort of present. And I was like, sounds great. And she's like, cool, it's at 8 a.m. And I was like, motherfucker, like, how come all these causes, all these races, you know, if you want to race for the cure, well, you got to get out of bed at 5:30 in the fucking morning. You know what I mean? If you want to do an autism awareness walk, it's like... All right, well, be downtown Denver at, you know, 7 a.m. It's like, you don't have... When are the nooners? I want to, like, start a whole series of races or benefits or whatever, and they do not take place before noon. Because it's like... I get it. In the summer, it's pretty hot. But you can make it 5K when it's hot. You know what I mean? You'll be fine. If you can sit in a fucking baseball stadium in the blazing sun for like 10 hours or however the hell long a baseball game takes, then you can sure as hell go 5K to benefit kids who got all fucked up in a fire. This was a thing that, so, you know, we play in these golf tournaments and we've had some custom, you can like go online and get golf balls printed with, you know, a logo or whatever, obviously. And people do this for golf tournaments a lot. Like, you'll end up with balls that are like, such and such tournament, 2014 or something like that, right? And I had this idea to go and get on and get tournament balls that were for tournaments that don't exist, but have kind of odd names, I guess. And, like, the one I've, you know, been toying with a lot was basically, like, the so-and-so tournament to benefit kids who got all fucked up in a fire. Like, that's what it would be called. And, I wonder, when you send that stuff in, you know, I'm like, do they vet any of the stuff they're putting on golf balls? They always have a thing that's, like, we reserve the right to not print something and stuff. But, you know, there's a guy who had some stuff printed that was like, America, fuck yeah, or something. And so I was like, well, they put fuck on there. I mean, I guess it's like, yeah, you probably don't want to just put like a nude spread vagina on a golf ball, right? Or like a dick shooting out cum on a golf ball. Or, you know, I also was like, eh, probably your racial slurs, your swastikas. I feel like that's what they're mostly against, but I really don't know. And so the thing is that I just kind of want to put these balls in and see. Because the other thing I don't know, too, is like, okay, they, you know, they put this thing that they reserve the right to not do that. But does that mean they actually turn things down? Or does that mean they're kind of like, well, whatever, we just want to be able to. Should somebody turn in something fucked up, we just want to have it, you know, pre-disclosed that we're not going to do that, right? So there you go. I had thoughts of custom golf balls, but I made a decision this summer. So every summer I go through probably two or three pairs of shitty sunglasses, you know, and they're like $14 from Target or something, and they're just these generic crappy sunglasses. This summer I decided, you know, if you're going to spend $14 on sunglasses, why not just buy a bunch of them? And then once I had decided to buy a bunch of them, I was like, why not get like custom, you know, logo sunglasses for yourself? that, and, you know, just buy, like, you, the minimum is 15 pairs. And, you know, they end up coming out to being, like, $7 a piece or something like that. So I was like, yeah, that's a pretty good deal overall. Like, when you think about it, when you're someone who's like, I will go through all of these sunglasses over the next 2 or 3 years for sure. Totally worth it, right? So I bought some sunglasses, and I just had them printed with a simple word mark that says Dirk Portable Urinals, and the other arm of them says Relief is at Hand, because that's our slogan. I decided to start a company of portable urinals, you know, sunglass merchandise first. We'll see how it goes and if that proves to be a good business model. If people start inquiring about these portable urinals, then we'll know we're doing the right thing. So I'm wearing some right now. And they're pretty good. Like, they're not bad. I probably would have ordered a few more if I'd known. But you know how sometimes you get those shitty sunglasses and it's almost like they're almost wavy? They look a little bit underwater or something, like the lenses are warped. So I was a little concerned about whether or not these would be of a quality. I was worried I was going to get the box and get 15 pairs of sunglasses I did not want to wear. And it's kind of like when you make a huge batch of chili and it sucks. And you're just like, oh God. Like, I got to eat this whole fucking thing now. Like, this is an awful lot. This is a lot of chili any way you slice it. It's a whole lot of food that you don't want to have to eat. I mean, that is a lot of fucking shit. There's a truck that's got dry corn in it ahead of me that's just sort of slowly dumping it onto the highway. So that's cool. Part of the sunglasses decision, too, was that, guys, get excited for this. Pete has paid off his student loans. I paused there because hopefully I inserted some exciting music, you know, to celebrate. Come on! Da-na-na-na. Yes. Success. In just about 8 years, I paid off my loans. Would have been quicker if I hadn't paid $7,000 for dental work. So there you go. I have a couple tips if anyone wants them. I mean, I think there... Here's the thing. There was a time where I was, like, real set on paying off my student loan. Because I was like, I mean, that frees up, like, $300 a month. You know, thinking, like, I could live this exact same lifestyle I have now, but I could live in an apartment that costs, like, $950 a month. It's pretty exciting. So, there was a time when I was spending a lot of effort looking up, like, ways people paid off their student loans, right? Hoping to find some kind of, like, system or trick or something that would work for me. And there was, it's a desert out there. There's fucking shit out there as far as that kind of thing goes. The reason being, there's not really a trick. There's not, like, some great thing. And I know what a lot of people are thinking. A lot of people, especially my contemporaries, took out loans for school, and then there's this, you know, thing that good old George W. put in place about, oh, if you make 10 years of payments and you're working in, like, the, you know, public service, you can get some loan forgiveness, right, for the balance that you have remaining. Now, that would just be coming into effect about now. Like, I think this would be about the first couple years that you could have done it. And there was a lot of speculation in the library world about whether librarians would count. Like, teachers were definitely in there. I think public defenders were in there. You know, pretty strongly tied to this and that. And the other thing is, of course, you're like, well, okay, the rules are really strict about, like, you have to make 10 years of payments, no late payments, no whatever. And I made one late payment by a month because I fucked up, right? So I was like, I wonder if my 10 years starts over from that or whatever. There's a lot of speculation, but here's the sort of diabolical genius that George W. Bush was, or how fucking stupid the rest of us are. So George W. Bush in, whatever, 2006 or something like that, is like, hey, or yeah, probably 2006, right? Because he ran again in 2004. Is like, I got this idea. We've got this sort of mounting student debt going on. What I'll do is be like, if you go into public service, like teaching, and you do for 10 years, you make payments, you can get loan forgiveness, right? And everyone's like, oh, this is a really great program, and da-da-da-da. Now, there wasn't really a lot of clarity on how that was going to work. Where is the money coming from? I mean, because the bank is getting the money, ostensibly from the government, and da-da-da-da. And I think that there was, at the time, a lot of thinking of, like, if you know anything about student loans, you know this. Most student loans are on track to be paid off in about 10 years. Like, that's kind of the normal range. And then you can extend it. You can do income-based and graduated payments and stuff and go way, way longer than that. But once you've made 10 years of payments, you've certainly taken a chunk out of what you're paying. So my guess is they were dumb and kind of just figured that, like, well, if people have any money left on their loans, it's probably not much, which is not true. But the other thing is, here's the genius of this plan, right? You basically promised that somebody two presidential cycles from you would have to fulfill. So we had this student loan forgiveness thing. It basically skips Obama completely because he's there for 8 years. Add the 2 years of Bush, that's 10 years, right? So really, he didn't have to do that. I mean, he didn't have to deal with that in a big, bad way. And so then it goes straight to our new president, which, by the way, guys, I guess I'm starting to get the idea through Twitter and Facebook that people don't like this guy. Now, I know that sounds weird and maybe, like, out there, but I'm just, like, there are a lot of very subtle hints that people don't care for this president, you know, which I hadn't really, I'm not deep into politics, so I don't know, but, like, I think what would really help me is just if y'all continue to tweet things that you don't like him, then I'll know that you don't like him. That'd be cool. You know what I mean? The latest thing he did that you didn't like, I would love to hear about it from you, an individual who knows almost nothing about politics until the last, like, 3 months when we all decided to get pissed off. It's like, am I going to do this? All right, I'm going to do this. I recorded this entire episode that got into some of this political shit, and then I just put it away in a folder because I was like, I don't think anyone wants to hear this. Like, I don't think anyone actually cares about what Pete thinks about politics. And, like, every time I've talked about that, I've not had someone say, oh, yeah, I kind of feel that way too, you know? Or, like, oh, that's a different viewpoint. I mean, I don't feel that way, but I see where you're coming from. You just get shit for it. Like, it's a zero-sum game. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just talk about a little political thing. And then, if you like it, I don't know, just tell me you liked it. And if you don't like it, if you're like, no more politics, don't say anything. So if you liked it, the burden is on people who liked it. If you liked it, then tweet at me or Facebook or whatever and tell me you liked it. And then I'll do more. Or, you know, I'll do it from time to time or whatever. It's not going to turn into, like, a political show. You know, but there is a big void now that Bill O'Reilly's gone, and I'm looking to fill that void. Mostly in the way of collecting the paycheck he was collecting. But I don't know. I don't know how anyone feels about it. So, okay. Here's the political thing I'm going to say. So, you know, there's been changes to healthcare and whatnot, or, you know, proposed changes that have made it part way to being changes that happen. And everyone I talk to is super outraged. And the same line is the one I hear over and over. Rape is now a pre-existing condition. Like, rape is a pre-existing condition, so you can't get coverage for health care. And my sister even went so far as to be like, you know, well, rape is a pre-existing condition, but luckily for you, if you get prostate cancer, you know, you can get coverage for that. And I was like, first of all, sure, if I already have insurance, I can, you know, but I can't, it becomes a pre-existing condition as soon as you have it, right? But also, I feel like I understand the point of saying rape is a pre-existing condition, because I think it highlights and illustrates in a pretty direct, concise way why the whole idea of pre-existing conditions is asinine and doesn't really work, right? However, I also feel like it illustrates the point, but I don't think it is the point. And here's why I'm saying that. If rape were no longer a pre-existing condition, I don't think that would be like, oh, well, now healthcare is good, right? It would still be completely fucked. Every single person who ever lives will eventually have a condition that eventually becomes a pre-existing condition, right? Like, that's the fate of all of us. None of us is getting out of this alive, right? I mean, not a one of us is. It was a weird thing I was thinking the other day where I was just like, every single person who has ever lived died. Like, that is the one thing that nobody gets out of. Nobody gets a pass on. You know what I mean? Every single person dies eventually, one way or another, at one point or another. Maybe before they're ready, maybe when they are ready, or maybe, you know, when they're ready enough that they can lie to themselves and be like, I'm ready. We all fucking die, right? And part of that dying is that we all have something in our lives that's a pre-existing condition of some sort, right? You know, it just depends on, like, what happens to you and who you are, but it doesn't really depend, because we all will eventually have something, whether it's an injury, a disease, or, you know, you get a fucking hernia. I mean, you get a fucking kidney stone, right? It's like, okay, well, right now, this is the first kidney stone I've had, so it's not a pre-existing thing, but then after that, it is. So here's my point, is like, I get why people are saying the rape thing, because that's like a very, it's outrageous. It's an outrageous example of how fucked up the system is and how stupid it is. But I think I'm tired of hearing about how it's like, oh, and this is the other one that always comes. But, you know, if you want to get Viagra, you're covered. Okay, great. And it's like one of these things where I'm like, I don't really think the issue is that Viagra is covered. Like, I don't think that's the problem. I think the problem is that these other things are not covered. And when it's presented this way to me, I feel like the suggested solution here is like, well, we shouldn't cover Viagra, or we should cover this, you know, we should cover rape as not a pre-existing condition. And I'm like, no, we should cover, rape shouldn't be a pre-existing condition or a post, it's not a condition. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, this is, that's crazy, right? That is crazy. It makes no sense. And so then I get it. Like, it points out the hypocrisy and whatnot and all that. But, you know, the other thing is, I don't really know what to say when people say that to me, because I don't get to just monologue like I do on here, right? Where I kind of get to explain, like, what I'm saying a little bit more thoroughly, which is not that I'm like, oh, fuck you, quit complaining about rape. What I'm saying is, everything about the healthcare system is fucked, and that's not a new thing. I mean, we had, like, what, 2 years of Affordable Health Care Act or something? Out of however many years of history, we've had 2 years in the United States where it was, like, sort of halfway there. I mean, I think the affordable health care was a good idea and it's a good thing, but it's not the end of the plan in my eyes. It's like the sort of... you know, it's the beginning of a plan, right? It's kind of the start of when things are happening, in my eyes. It's the move towards, like, socialized medicine and being like, okay, everything's cool. Like, it's cool to pay for people to have health care who can't pay for it themselves. Like, I'm fine with that. I feel like it's sort of a... It's probably the most socialized medicine that they felt would be possible to make happen. And it turned out it wasn't, right? Because the way our system works, it wasn't possible. I mean, it worked for 2 years, but that's not a lot of time. So anyway, that's my political discussion for the week, is just like, if you're going to make the same fucking point again and again and like not... What are you doing? Like, you're making this point like it's this great new point. Like, everyone's going to be like, oh my God, my mind is blown. And I guess I'm just saying my mind is not blown by this fact. I don't know why it would blow your mind unless you know, if you're from fucking Sweden, yeah, I would probably be like, well, that seems super fucked up, right? And like, even as myself, I'm like, yeah, that's really fucked up. But that's not something that was completely untrue before, right? I mean, these existing... And, you know, I get tired of, like, hearing about how, oh, well, prostate cancer is covered. And I'm like, oh, well, great, you know. That will be a big comfort to me when I'm dying of prostate cancer, I'm sure. Is that, you know, well, the injustice here is, whatever. Whatever. You know what I mean? It's just like... I think I'm tired of sort of, because I'm a white man, it's like, oh, the system, you know, the healthcare system is set up to work for you, right? And I'm like, okay, but I have no choice in that. It's not like that's my preference or choice or anything like that. The truth of it is, it's everything is set up to work for politicians, right? And they're all... old white dudes. So I voted for just as many of them as you all fuckers did. Okay? So I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. The ones that are there now are probably not any that I voted for, because I don't think I voted for anyone who wasn't a third party. I don't know what to tell you. Okay. That's all. I think I just... I'm just tired of being sort of the, like... the enemy or the whatever. All right, I don't want to talk about this anymore. I'm going to talk about student loans. Paying them back. I have a couple tips for you, okay? For paying back your student loans. Here's the first one. I got an app called Acorns where you can... it rounds up your purchases made on like a debit card, and then you know, it puts the roundups into an investment account, basically, and invests it in the stock market. Now, I wasn't really as interested in the stock market portion of this as I was the roundups and saving the roundups. It's basically a modern equivalent, a technological equivalent of saving your change, right, and having a change jar, which I also do. And that works just as well. If you're a cash person, just do that. Just put all of your change in a jar, save that shit. Don't spend it on nothing. I think the reason that Roundups works really well is because it's not really money that you miss as much. You know what I mean? It doesn't hurt to save that way. I think that what you want to do is you want to make your savings not super painful. Like, there are a lot of suggestions out there that I didn't find great that were just like, you know, I basically lived for a year and didn't do anything that I enjoyed. Which, like, I'm against at this point, because I feel like if you're in horrible debt, like if you're in horrible credit card debt, yeah, you might have to do that. But if you have student loan debt, I don't know if I would advocate for that. The reason being, you know, I've been thinking a lot about dying. And I just feel like, well, I would feel like kind of a fool if I paid off my student loan and then died 2 years later, right? And I had denied myself any kind of fun. anything frivolous, anything stupid. I'm not going to suggest that you don't do anything frivolous and stupid. I'm not going to suggest you don't go on vacation, right? One thing I did find that helped me a lot was not buying clothing. Which, you know, for some people is a lot more important than me. Like, this was a pretty easy, low-hanging fruit for me, was to stop buying clothing. Because clothing just fucking, that shit racks up expense. And I honestly had plenty of clothing that was totally passable. You know what I mean? Nobody was going to say boo if I was wearing the shit I was wearing 2 years later. I don't know. It might be different for you. And I would encourage you to try it, though. I would encourage you to try not buying more clothing. You know, if you have enough underwear that every time you do laundry, it's not like you have to do laundry because you're prompted because you're out of underwear. If you're like, whatever, I have plenty to go around, don't fucking worry about it. Like, stop worrying about it. You're fine. You don't need to buy more, right? So I guess I would just encourage you, like, as far as those things go. I mean, I know some people get pleasure from buying clothes and from wearing nice clothes. And if that's the case, then, yeah, maybe that's your thing. You know, that's your thing that I'm saying, not to deny yourself pleasure. But, you know, clothing is one that, for me, was super low-hanging fruit. Like, I didn't really need to buy that much clothing. And, you know, you take a couple years off buying clothes. I mean, if you've got enough to go a couple years, then you're good. Or just reduce, whatever. I almost entirely stopped buying books as well, which that one was, like, painful. But really what prompted that for me was, like, moving three times in, like, a couple years. Because nothing will encourage you to decrease the number of physical books that you own, like moving. Move into a new apartment, and then move into another new apartment. And each time you do that, you will cut down your books, I guarantee it, if you're like a big book buyer. And the next time you go to buy a book, you'll just be like, do I really need to buy it? Like, do I want to own this? How important is it to me that I own this book versus read it? You know, and that's kind of what prompted, like, I'm reading all the Amazing Spider-Mans, right, from the beginning. But I'm reading them, not collecting them, not worrying about having them in a collectible format, just reading them. And that's been great, because you feel like, you still feel like you're accomplishing this goal and doing, well, I do, I mean, because that's who I am, an adult man child who has important opinions on politics and also is reading every Amazing Spider-Man. But you know what? That's the nuanced individuals that we have in 2017. Doing things like, you know, it really makes you think about, I'm not trying to get into this, like, minimalism, whatever, you know, the things you own you kind of bullshit. I'm just saying, in a very practical level, you start to think like, well, this is going to cost me $16, and if I'm not going to read it today, if I'm not starting it today and finishing it today, it's going to sit on my bookshelf for 3 years. And then, you know, I have to move it three times and da-da-da-da. I mean, like, the closest thing I get to minimalism is this. I like to think about, you know, some people will end up renting a storage locker at some point, right? And I like to think about the space in my apartment as being like, if this were a storage locker, would I want to pay to keep this somewhere? In other words, I've got all these books I haven't read, and I don't want to get rid of them, but at the same time, would I pay for a storage locker for them? Like, that would clearly be throwing good money after bad, right? And so, no, I would say no. And if you kind of start thinking about your space as money, it helps. It's like another, it's just, you know, kind of like a different mindset. But, you know, I really don't get into this shit of like, I got myself down to 50 items that I owned. Not because that's fine if that's like something that brings you pleasure. I just find that, like, it's not super practical. I read the life-changing magic of tidying up or whatever, and I was like, I mean, she makes some good points. Like, I think she makes some good points about the weirdest things were the things I felt the most for. Like, oh, hold your items and see if it sparks joy. Because I was like, yeah, I've had that experience. But, you know, the shit that was like, when you, you know, have one bar of soap, don't buy more than one at a time because you don't need more than one at a time. And I was like, no, you can buy 12 bars of soap at a time. I buy like 3 deodorants at a time because it's just like, look, I know I'm going to fucking use this. I know that I'm going to need this eventually. And I don't have a lot of space in my apartment. I don't live in like a palatial estate. So I have to say, if I've got room for 12 bars of soap in my apartment, you do too. And like, come on. Come on, Marie Kondo. Kondo Marie. So, you know, the minimalism thing, I think, can turn into a bit of a contest and turns into a bit of a, like, seems showy to me and seems impractical. And then I think people beat themselves up because they're like, man, I'm not the most, I could be more minimalist, you know? And it's like, hey, listen, not owning things you don't need is a good idea. But beating yourself up for owning things that, you know, you could, you need or use or that make you happy is like stupid. I mean, you're just wasting your time beating yourself up over something instead of doing the thing. Hey everybody, I'm back. I stopped for a meeting in the middle. Can you tell by the timbre of my voice? Short version, I'm back. I was thinking about the healthcare lady. The, you know, the faceless raped person or whatever. Here's what I wanted to say about it. I think I wasn't very clear. And, you know, it clarified in my mind while I was drifting around in the meeting, you know, in my mind. And here's what I want to say about it. I get the example, and I understand why it's like a very stirring example and an important example of what's going on. I just feel like what I see when I'm reading things online, and this is my interpretation, right? But when I see on things online, what I see a lot of times is news things, political things, social things. The example becomes the issue instead of being the example, right? Like, this is one of the few examples that I've seen, and it's like, it's so quotable, and I understand why it would circulate a lot. But I just feel like it's become the issue, right? It's become the issue instead of being a great illustration of the issue. So there you go. That's how I feel about that. So we were talking student loans. I was talking about not buying clothes. I was talking about not buying books. Here's another big one. Now, I have not been a long-term proponent of cooking at home because when you're like one dude, it doesn't seem like cooking at home saves you that much money. The reason being, like, you go to Subway and a sandwich is like $5, or you get all the stuff for a sandwich, it seems like it costs $90. I don't know why, I don't know how it works. And then you're like, well, I can have this sandwich, but like, I can't put like oil and vinegar on a sandwich and then just have it sitting in a bag for 5 hours. Like, this is going to be a fucking disaster by the time I actually eat it. It's not going to be pleasant. So you have this problem, right? And I can't go home for lunch. It's too fucking far. Like, I would have no time. So, I wasn't, like, a huge advocate of cooking at home, because it just seems like it's about the same cost, the hassle. And here's the other big one, is I am a big advocate of getting the fuck out of your workplace during your lunch break. Like, I think it's a super good thing to do. Don't sit in the break room. Because if you're sitting in the break room, then I can't. But also because if you're sitting in the break room, people are going to come bother you with stuff. They're going to be like, hey, I have a quick question. You know what I mean? Or, oh, people will bother you. And when I say bother, they'll bother you with chit-chat. Which is, chit-chat's fine. And I like the people who chit-chat with me as people. I just, I just don't want to be doing anything work-like. And for me, part of my sort of work-like things that I do during the day is just being sort of a pleasant, normal human. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy just talking with people all the time. I don't enjoy, you know, telling... I don't enjoy telling the story of my last vacation 7 different times. You know, and every time it's like it gets a little bit shorter, a little bit angrier, and the vacation seems further and further away. I need to, because I'm going to talk about my Tennessee vacation in an upcoming episode. I need to just refer people to that. Just be like, just listen to this. Just listen to my fucking podcast if you're so damn curious about my vacation. And you can find out more than you want to know. Trust me. If you want to hear an hour summary of what it's like to visit Tennessee for like 5 days, you know where to go. If you want to hear a weird airline complaint, although I'm pretty short on those this time, I have one. It's not even the airline. It's one of the other passengers. You know where to go. Anyway. I have become an advocate of cooking and eating homemade meals. Now, here's the big thing, right? I'm not like, you gotta be a fucking master chef. I'm not like, be Blue Apron, do this, do that. I'm kind of the thing of like, get like 3 or 4 recipes that you can make pretty well and you can shop for without really having to think about it a whole lot, and you don't necessarily have to have the list, and make those. And you have to eat leftovers. Like, if you're, I know a lot of people are like, I don't really eat leftovers, and I don't get it. I'm just like, are you, like, rich? How does that work? How do you, you're like, I don't eat food that wasn't made today? How? How do you live this rock and roll lifestyle? I don't get it. But, I mean, just get used to it. A lot of people, I think, the problem is they don't eat leftovers because, okay, if you make shitty food or you're eating shitty food, it's not going to be better the next day, right? But if you make something that's decent, you know, if it's a 6 out of 10, it'll be a 5 the next day, right? So it's fine. Just make sure you're making and freezing stuff that, you know, when you unfreeze it, is tolerable. But, you know, that might not be for everyone either. I get it, because, like, I've always been somebody who will eat the same thing for breakfast for, like, 4 years in a row. And I don't get tired of it, really, because I just don't think about it. Well, you know what I get tired of is making a decision every single day of what I want to eat for breakfast. I'd rather just cram something in my mouth that I'm not really enjoying to power my horrible body through the horrible day than I would want to, you know, be like, should I have oatmeal today? Should I have a bagel today? You know, I just eat the same fucking thing every day. The end. I'm like Einstein. You know, they say he wore, like, the same outfit every day so that he didn't have to think about it and waste the brain power. I'm kind of like that, except it's, I'm not smart, and I'm not, like, saving, I'm not saving the brain power in order to, you know, change the world of physics. I'm saving the brain power in order to, you know, dick around, I guess. I just don't want to use it. I'm not even using the brain power. It's like money that's going in the bank that's just sitting there until it expires or something. It's, if money could expire, that would be my brain power saved via Einstein methods. Isn't that a crystal clear summary of what we're talking about? But cooking at home, here's the thing. If you start cooking at home and you make it a really regular habit, you'll start noticing that you just end up with more money at the end of the month. Like, you'll just get to the end of the month and be like, huh, I have more money. And it's the times when when I've been super busy and I don't get around to cooking, I notice, like, I'm having a harder time saving money. So I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just the going out that fucks it all up. I don't know if it's, like, eating out is more expensive than I think. I don't know exactly what it is. I just know that it's a pretty damn good way to save some money. Don't worry about the economics of it. Also, don't worry about, like, eating the absolute cheapest shit that you can find when you're making the food at home. I think this is another thing, right? Is like a lot of people will probably start eating at home or start making their own food, but then they're just making cheap shit food, you know, because they're like, well, I'm going to eat nothing but ramen because I'm trying to save money. And you're like, look, you can eat stuff that's good, you know, just don't eat out as much. Like, that's the goal here, is to eat out less, not to just hate eating. Eating is one of these things that you're going to have to do like 3 or 4 times a day. So if you're miserable doing it, again, I don't really see the point. Yeah, don't remove all the misery from, or all the joy from your life. Don't look at everything that brings you joy and be like, well, let's get rid of that. I don't think that's a good way to pay back your student loan, because if you just fucking hate life, like, what's the point? Okay. Here was one of my other big initiatives. I started, whenever I bought something on Amazon or online, I had to contribute that same amount to my student loan. So, you know, if I bought a concert ticket and it was $25, I got to put $25 to my student loan. And, it, you know, you buy the ticket, you immediately log into fucking Nelnet and put in $25. You know what I mean? Don't even think twice about it. Just do that. And there were a couple times a year this sucked, right? Like, Christmas time fucking sucked. Because you're buying the stuff. It's not even for you. But it works in two different ways, because it works the one way because you're contributing more to your loan, and it stacks up, you know, it stacks up pretty well. But the other way it works is that your every purchase you make costs about twice as much, and so you're thinking about your purchases a little bit more. Where before I may have just bought an ebook for like $8, you know, like Pete's exhaustive review of Modeland. Now I would be like, well, technically, that's going to cost me $16. And is this worth $16? Am I going to get $16 worth of fun out of this? I don't know. Pete's exhaustive review of Model Land? Totally. But, you know, a fucking new notebook? Do I want that $16 bad? No. Fuck no. That's asinine. So it makes a big difference. It helps. I endorse this tactic. You know, you go to a concert and it's like, okay, you have to do this. I didn't do it. There are a few things I didn't do it with every time. I didn't do it with plane tickets every time because that's expensive. And it was just difficult for me to do it a couple times. And, you know, when I went on vacation, it's not like I was tracking my bills. It's not like every frivolous thing when I was walking around. It was pretty much exclusive to online shopping. And I say online shopping, you know what I mean? So I'm buying something. I don't know. It really worked. And I think the online thing works well because when you're online, you're also a click away from being adding a payment to your student loan, right? It's really easy to do that. So that made a big difference. Another difference was getting a side hustle. I started writing for Lit Reactor. I don't think it's like supposed to be a secret or anything. I make $25 per column, which probably sounds like pretty good, but I think I spend an average of 3 to 4 hours on a column, so it's like less than minimum wage if you go by the hourly. I don't recommend going by hourly if you write, because you know, put an ebook on Amazon, go the hourly wage of what you put in to what you get out. Even, like, the shittiest non-editedist writer in the world is making a terrible salary. And, you know, even Stephen King is probably not making an awesome salary if you did it hourly. How many hours of work he puts in for how much he gets out? I mean, it's probably not great. Okay, so here's the thing. I got the side hustle, and, you know, I would make an extra $75 to $100 a month, which isn't, like, a ton. But I was trying to put all of it into my student loan. I was trying to be like, okay, you need to put this into your student loan. Like, just keep going. This is new money, so it's not like it didn't feel like I was missing anything by taking that money because it was a new gig and putting it into the loan. You know, it just feels like you're doing more work, but it's not like, man, I have to give up X, Y, and Z. It's just more money going into the loan. So that's what's, I think, really great about the side hustle. Now, I don't necessarily, again, I don't necessarily recommend trying to find, like, a weekend job. I mean, you can, but weekend job is tough to find these days. I'm going to tell you right now, in case you don't know. It's hard to find somewhere that's like, yeah, we'll just let you work Saturday and Sunday, three weekends out of four or something like that. Because, you know, people want to hire someone to work 15 to 20 hours flexible, right? And they want you all different times. So the side hustle is a good thing to do. I don't know, whatever you can do to make a little money, and don't worry as much about how much you're making. Don't worry about, like, Jesus, I would make way more than this at my regular job, right? Because the thing is, most people I know, if you have a job, you're kind of maxed out, right? If you have a job where you can put in a couple extra hours and make a little bit more money, then go for it. Do that as your side hustle, right? That's pretty easy. You're sacrificing a couple more hours. You're already fucking there. You're already putting in 40 hours. What's 42? But yeah, find the side hustle and put in a little extra. And that kind of gets into, like, I think a big part of this, too, was changing the way I looked at a student loan. When you look at the total and then you look at putting in, you know, I'm talking about I buy an ebook, so I have to put $8 in. You're like, what is the fucking point? You know what I mean? What is the point of putting in $8? You can't think that way. I don't really know what way you have to think otherwise. It's like you're throwing money down a well is what it feels like. And it still felt like that to me all the way up to near the end. But you just, that's what you have to do. It's like, this sucks because it feels like I'm throwing money down a well. And it's like, yeah, throwing money down the well is how you fill up the well with money. And then you give the well to some fucking banker, tell them to go fuck themselves. And then you don't have to pay them anymore. You know, it's just how it is. It feels like a Sisyphean task, right? Is that the guy with the boulder? You know, it just feels like you're never going to get there. Two steps forward, one step back, all that shit. And it feels like that the entire time. So I guess my advice there is to just, you have to kind of think about it as you versus the bank. And your goal is to rob the bank of every dime. Like you become Uncle Scrooge and you're just like, these motherfuckers are not getting 1 cent more of my money than they absolutely have to. Like, think about it like this. Imagine your student loan was given to you through a time portal by Hitler. So your interest is funding the Nazi party in Germany and is, like, funding the Axis powers during World War II, right? And you have no way to do anything other than pay it back. That's how you're fighting the war. I'm going to compare putting $8 into a thing as like storming the beach at Normandy, like that's the territory we're getting in. But whatever you got to do to put yourself in the mindset of like, yeah, these small amounts really fucking matter. Because the deal with the small amount is kind of like, if you build up the momentum with it, it does matter. I promise you, you think about $8, you know, but if you put in $8 and you put in $25 over the month, I mean, by the end of the year, you have like almost, what, $2,500, right? Or no, I'm sorry, I can't do math, $250. But you know, that's a month off. So if you just put in $8 a week, you basically take your loan time down by a month. And so think about, you know, 6.8%, whatever, and you've reduced it by a month. So the more you can do that, and then you start looking at your past payments and you're like, okay, well, since I've been doing this for 5 years, I've reduced it by 5 months. If you'd done this from the very beginning, put in the extra $8 every week from the beginning, you'd reduce it like by a huge amount, right? So you want to reduce the time. Think about it that way, if that helps. Not so much reducing the total amount of money, but reducing the amount of time you'll be paying this back. Think about how you don't want to be fucking 50 years old paying your fucking student loan back, right? So that's, I think, one of the important things is you got to look at it. You know, when I was, one of the things I did was cut my own hair. Now, this wasn't exclusively to pay back my loan, I'll be honest, because I fucking hate getting haircuts. You go to the haircut place, it takes forever. They talk the whole time about nothing. You know, I went to the same guy like 3 times, and every time I is like, what do you do for a living? Oh, here's the thing about me. And you're just like, I don't care. Like, I'm sorry, I don't care. I don't even really care about my family and friends. I definitely don't care about a stranger. You know, and I knew his story, and I knew it wasn't, like, interesting and juicy. If his story had been like, so I got this fucking loan from Hitler through a time portal, I'd be like, all right, I'm in, and I'll just keep coming to this guy, because A, he could just keep telling me that story, and that's something, and B, the guy who got a student loan through Hitler from a time portal probably has at least one other good story. I find it hard to believe that you would have that story on tap and you had nothing else of value that had happened in your entire life. It's got to be, right? But it was never like that. It's just horrible. I just fucking hate it. I hated everything about it. I hated scheduling a haircut. I hated, you know, fucking haircut places are open, you know, like, okay, I don't go to Great Clips. I don't go to Fantastic Sam's. Like, I can do that myself. And so can you, believe me. If you go to, like, one of these places where it's $8, if your haircut place advertises that you should go there because it's so inexpensive, don't go there. That is a bad... I promise you, haircuts is one of these things where there's like a range, right? You don't want to pay $8 for a haircut. That's too cheap. It's like how I feel about pizza. You know what I mean? When Totino's are 10 for a dollar, it's like, well... Okay, so terrible, terrible news, everyone. We ran out of tape on the SD card, so we didn't capture about 5 to 8 minutes to 10 minutes to 18 minutes of stuff. So I'm going to try and remember exactly what I said until I discovered that. So I was talking about pizza. Pizza's too fucking cheap. Totino's, 10 for a dollar. That is a dollar's worth of pizza spread out over an entire frozen pizza. I think it's an accurate price, which means that it's a terrible purchase. If you're getting what you feel like is a dollar's worth of pizza spread out over the surface area of an entire pizza, that is not a good situation to be in. Also, I think I skipped over the part or missed the part where I was saying that I think dudes are real cheap when it comes to haircuts. I'm not saying you got to be dude cheap because dudes are like... Dudes will complain about a $16 haircut, which I'm like, I think like $25 is about... the normal price for a dude haircut that doesn't look like shit. Okay? Gosh, I hope I didn't say all this already. I should have been more listening to myself. But, like, I told this whole tale. I'll just go back into it, and then if I did record it again, I guess I'll just have to cut it out. I had this friend in school whose mom took him to, like, a barber school. Right? And, like, it was really obvious. I mean, he told us that, and he had to tell us that, because he would come in every couple weeks with the craziest fucking bowl cut. I mean, he came in once, and he had, not only did he have a bowl cut, but the bangs were cut totally at an angle. And you could tell what had happened was the person cutting the hair fucked it up, cut these bangs at an angle, but had also cut them so short as to be like, now he looked like a woman from 2017 who's in like an indie punk band. That the bangs were so short that the only way to straighten them out at this point would have been to just give him asinine, ridiculous short bangs. Which I was like, just fucking cut the hair off. Like, sometimes you gotta know. Sometimes you got to know when it's time to rehab a building, and sometimes you got to know when it's time to fucking demolish it and start over. When it comes to hair, especially when you're talking about someone in sixth grade, that was the time to demolish it and start over. So I'm not saying you got to be like that. Here's what I did. I bought a fucking trimmer. You do two fucking haircuts yourself, and you've made up the cost of the trimmer. But here's the other thing. As soon as you finish trimming your hair, when you're in that waiting period between when you've trimmed your hair and you're, you know, waiting to see where you missed an entire little patch, because that's gonna happen, you get on your fucking app, you put a couple, you put whatever the cost of a normal haircut you put into savings, right? Or I put it in my investment app or whatever. And you just do, you gotta take these little chunks. You know, it's a little cut here, a little cut there. It's just how it goes, right? I mean, the way you win a knife fight, think about you're in a knife fight with your student loan provider, right? Give them a face that you can hate, and you're in a knife fight. You don't win a knife fight by stabbing someone in the brain, because that's probably not going to work out for you. You win a knife fight by you just cut them a couple times here, a couple times there, and eventually they've bled out so much that they cannot continue, and then you've got them. That's how you win a fucking knife fight. Not by stabbing someone in the heart and then they instantly die. Right? You just a little cut here, a little cut there, and eventually they're dead. That's what you gotta do. And I'm not saying you gotta cut your own hair, okay? Let's not be caught up in the specifics here. Yeah, some people aren't gonna wanna cut their own hair. This is a total bias of mine, but so be it. I think most ladies don't really wanna cut their own hair, and I can understand why. I mean, it's a personal choice. I'm saying, though, take whatever that is for you. I mean, here's what I did. I removed something from my life that I didn't like, didn't need, and could do myself. You know, I was happier doing it myself, and I saved money doing it myself. So there you go. All right, here's the last thing, the last part of this. It's also, it's not just about paying your student loan off. You have to save money, too. You have to have money in savings. And this works two ways. Number one, you have to start a fucking savings account. If you're an adult and you don't have any money in savings, you're fucking up. Like, you need to put money in savings. I don't care how much money that is. I don't care. Seriously, if it's 50 cents a month, then it's 50 cents a month. You know what I mean? But you need to have savings that you're contributing to regularly. Like, it's a must-have, okay? When I started saving, when I was, like, really into paying off my loan, I was like, all right, I'm gonna just save 20 bucks a week goes into my savings. And I told a friend about this, and he kind of scoffed because he was like, it's going to be so slow. Like, you're never going to save money that way. And he's right. Like, he's not wrong. But he is wrong. Because here's the thing. Saving money is not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's the exact opposite of a get-rich-quick scheme. It's a get-financially-comfortable, extremely-slowly-realistic plan. Is that what the opposite of a get-rich-quick scheme is? Whatever that whole thing I just said? That's what saving is. Okay, it's not, you don't save to get rich. You save so that when your car takes a shit and you got to pay 1500 bucks, you're not like, well, I'm fucked. You know what I mean? And the reason you got to save while you're doing your student loans is for exactly that. Your student loan will wait. Okay, and if you're like super broke one month, if something happens, or you know, I have times of year where I just tend to be more broke. Some reason, like September, October, it just seems like a bunch of different bills happen at that same time, and I get really broke. Because, you know, the saga of when I sold my motorcycle, all these things, right? It's because I was broke as fuck. So it's good to have that cushion. If you have savings, then you don't have to worry about it. You know what I mean? When you save all year long, and then you get to that lean time, you're like, I mean, I'd like to have more money in my checking account right now, but I'm not dying. I'm not eating peanut butter on graham crackers, which I give a 6 as a snack, and a 2 as a meal, because I just horribly planned. Okay? Save. You have to save. If you're a grown-up, you have to fucking save. There's no excuse. There's no excuse for not saving 50 fucking cents. I mean, yes, there are some people who are just broke as shit. And, you know, for those people, I'm not advocating, like, you're a lazy piece of shit if you're not saving. I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to you. You know, the person who it's like, yeah, you could spend 50 cents. You bought candy out of a vending machine. That suggests that you've got a buck to put in savings every month, right? And here's the other thing. You have to create a threshold for yourself as you're paying your student loans back. And here's what I mean. When you start saving, you'll start having money in savings. Look how that works. And you need to create what you think is a realistic cushion for yourself that you're like, most situations I could get in, this amount of money would get me out of that. So in other words, I'm like, all right, let's say I, you know, my deductible on my insurance is like $2,500, my health insurance, right? So basically the most I'll end up paying is $2,500. But, you know, if I have something happen to me in October and then have continued medical bills through the next year, that's $5,000. That's kind of how I came up with my realistic range. The other reason I came up with that range was because I thought, like, well, $10,000 would be nice, but that's not realistic. Like, if something, basically it's like this. I could see a scenario where something might cost me $5,000. And I felt like anything above that, it might as well be $1 billion, right? Because what's the difference of me not paying back 95% of $1 billion or, you know, 50% of $10,000? If I had an unexpected $10,000 bill, I would just be fucked and have to figure something out. There's nothing I can do about that. But an unexpected $1,500 bill, I wanted to be able to cover that. So the number I came up with was 5,000. That's the threshold. And the key to the threshold is this. Whenever you're exceeding your threshold at the end of the month or 2 months or whatever, that goes into your loan. So here's why that worked for me. Sometimes it's like, you know, you get your tax refund, right? If you get a tax refund, let's say it's $500. Well, if that puts me at $5,500, then that $500 goes into the loan. But if it's puts me up to $4,500, then it stays in the savings or checking. And I just think it's important to have that, because if you set that for yourself ahead of time, then you know when you're saving and when you can put that extra money. You know when money is extra and can go into your loan and when it's good to keep in savings. Because one of the harsh realities of paying a loan back is like, hey man, if you don't have the money for your student loan payment, your fucking loan company will wait. I mean, they'll work with you. They'll figure something out, right? If you're like, if you get sick and you have a bunch of medical bills, your student loan payment is super easy to put off from hardship and whatever. It still gets interest, but they're not going to be fucking knocking on your door demanding it now. They're like, oh, we'll wait. They're in it for the long game. It's the long con, right? If you need to get your car fixed, the auto shop isn't going to be like, oh, well, you're paying back your student loan. I get that. You know, Mr. Fancy College Pants, let's make sure, let's just get you back on the road and not worry about the money. Fuck that. That's not going to happen. So you need to have that. You got to have it. It's got to work that way. And that's basically how I paid back my student loan. And what happened at the end is I was over, the amount I was over my threshold was the amount that was required for my loan. And so I paid it, and then I was good. And then it was done. One little annoying thing, too, when you get at the end is you make a last payment, and then you log in the next day, and you usually find, like, oh, there's, like, 20 more cents again because there was interest from the previous day. So get in and just fucking don't celebrate your last payment until it's your real last payment. That's what I'm saying. Or do and just fuck it. Just make sure that when you pay your loan off, you get in there like a couple days later and it says it's $0. right? That it's completely zeroed out. That's what you need to do. Because, I mean, there's a horror story out there online about someone not doing that, and then they found out it had like $200 again, and they were like, what the fuck? That's pretty hard to have happen to you, but there you go. It's possible, I suppose. That is how I paid off my student loan. So like I said, it's like nothing earth-shattering. It was nothing nothing huge. I think like the biggest thing for me was changing my attitude. You know, you got to recognize, like, I was in a position where I was making, like, not awesome money, but enough. I wasn't starving. I mean, when I was working 20 hours as a different position in the library, there would have been no way I could have done it. There's no way I could have paid off the loan as quickly as I did. And I would probably ignore these blog posts that are like, I paid off a $100,000 loan on a $50,000 salary in 2 months, you know, because it's like, that's probably didn't happen. Or this is somebody who's like, well, I live for free at my parents' house and I, you know, I'm single and I did this and I did that. I mean, if that's your situation, great. Pay off your fucking loan. But you know what the thing is? I don't want to discourage people from paying off their loans, but like it doesn't feel as good as you would think. Maybe it'll feel better like 6 months from now when I feel like, look at, I've got some money in the bank. But I don't know. I guess I would encourage you to maybe do something differently from me. And that thing I would encourage you to do differently is to sort of maybe also within your financial cushion, like put a little money aside to do something celebratory. Like Poon Master Flex is going to take me out to a fancy dinner. But I would encourage you, honestly, what I would encourage you to do is to make a totally frivolous purchase in the amount of your student loan payment, in celebration, or have a party where, you know, get everyone's bar tab or something. Like maybe you go to the bar and you're like, hey, listen, put down $300, you know, and I'm buying everyone's drinks tonight. Something like that, you know, something, whatever your version of that is for your lifestyle, where you're like, okay, please do not buy something like practical. You know, the thing I was going to buy for myself was a Nintendo 3DS, but Poon Master Flex bought it for me. Because she's really good with money and saving. But, you know, if your version of that is a 3DS, do that. If your version is, like, paying for the tab at a bar, do that. And really do it. Like, I am going to do it. I got to figure out what that looks like exactly, what my frivolous, fun purchase is. But, you know, don't make it a career-advancing purchase. Don't make it a, like, personal enrichment purchase. I would really point you away from that. I would really point you towards doing something dumb. Because once you've paid off your loans, you've been financially smart for a long, long stretch, you know, and good for you, and it's exciting. And I think it's like a really important thing in life to recognize those milestones. Because I'm not going to really remember, you know, oh, I remember when I put in the last thing, you know, and put in those last 28 cents or whatever. Like, that moment doesn't really resonate with me. But I think I'll remember if I do something like, there was this time I went to the tavern and I just was like, it's on me tonight, boys, to the entire fucking bar. I think that would be like a real moment for me. So I'm hoping to do something like that. I gotta decide what my that is, but once I do, it's gonna be fucking great. And that's all my advice. That's the end of my financial advice. Oh, you know what? That's not the end. I do have one other piece of financial advice. Is probably like Suze Orman or fucking Jim Cramer. Is that the guy's name? Probably these people all have better advice than me. I would say the only thing that gives me an edge here is I'm not wealthy. And I'm not, I've never, you know, started with wealth or ended with wealth. I just ended at not debt. You know, comfy, not debt. But I mean, I'm living in a rented apartment. So that's kind of my level. So I suspect I'm more like you than they are in that way. I mean, it's easy to talk about these things and hard to do. So I guess I just feel like maybe I've got a little something to listen to because, like, I am talking about them and it is easy. It's really easy. You can be talking about them and it's so easy that your recorder can stop and you didn't even know. Not recording them and recording them is almost equally easy. That's how easy it is. However, I did the shit too. So I can honestly tell you that, you know, this is my story. And it's not a fabulous story of, like, I was in $100,000 of credit card debt, and now I have $10 million in the bank. It was just like, I had $20,000 of student loan debt, and now I don't. And that's pretty great for me. Like, that's a pretty exciting time. I do have one last piece of advice for current students. If you're taking out a loan, or if you currently have loans, I would encourage you to work some. I'm not saying you got to have a full 40-hour work week and go to school, and you should enjoy your life like everyone else, but work some, okay? Don't do everything with your loans. If you got to work just to be like, this is my money for going out and, I don't know, drinking beers and stuff like that, great. Don't pay for that with your student loan. You will regret it. I promise you, you will regret it deeply. You will regret buying beers that you don't remember drinking at a bar you don't remember, hanging out with people that you don't talk to anymore with student loan money. Oh, that's the last thing, I think. I think what differs my advice from everyone else's is I'm not an advocate of things like, you know, people are like, I did a spending fast, right? Where it's like, I spent no money for a week. And it's like, I'm not a big advocate of that kind of stuff, just because I think that it's an interesting challenge and an interesting idea, but I think the practicality of it isn't there. And the sort of, like, you're challenging yourself not to spend for a week, but I think in preparation for that, people buy a bunch of stuff they don't need, like grocery-wise and stuff like that. And afterwards, they probably, you know, I think you get this false sense of like, look at this, and now I have all this money I can spend. I think it's better than doing these big schemes and like these super radical ideas to just do something that's realistic and sustainable ongoing rather than, you know, on this like spurts. It's a lot how I feel about jogging. I feel like you're much better off if you're starting to jogging, you know, a quarter mile for, you know, 3 days out of the week for a few weeks, then you are going out today, jogging a mile and a half, and then being sore as fuck and still hating jogging. I think we all have to trick ourselves a little bit when it comes to this shit, and I think we all have to, as people, as humans, we're not great at those things that it's like, you have to do this every day. You know, whether it be exercise or financial shit or whatever, you know, minimalism like we were talking about earlier. We're not good at the things that's like a small change that you then stick to every day. We're not good at creating habits that we stick to every day. We're not good at that stuff. We're great at the thing where it's like, this allows me to get really into thing XYZ and then completely abandon it. You know, we're really good at cramming for tests. What we're not good at is looking at a book that we have to read for a book club and saying, okay, 20 pages a day, and I'll be there. We're not good at doing that and then succeeding. We're great at, holy fuck, it's 2 days till book club. I haven't even touched it. It's 1,100 pages. How am I going to fit this in? You know, I'm calling sick to work and like drive myself to the middle of the woods, burn my car, and then I'll have to read this because I'll have nothing else to do while I'm waiting for a rescue. So I think that, like, I just don't think humans are good at that. And I don't think that's a good or a bad thing necessarily. I think it's just something good to recognize about yourself. If you're somebody who's really good at building and making new habits, great, do it. But if you're normal, don't fucking beat yourself up over the fact that you can't do that. just find a way that works for you. Stop doing these crazy, you know, diets are all like this. This is like why every diet is hugely popular and then fades. Because every single fucking diet shows immediate results, immediate short-term, non-sustainable results. And then, you know, I'm not talking about a diet where it's like, oh, I, you know, am careful about what I eat and da-da-da. I'm talking about, like, the South Beach diet and the paleo diet and all these different diets. Not the diet as in eating it. I'm talking about the diet as proffered by someone who's written a book about it, you know? We're great at doing something like that for 2 months and then never doing it again. What we're not great at is just, hey, maybe this paleo diet's got something to it, so I'm going to do 20% of it. I'll eat paleo one day a week and do that for the next 10 years. Like, we suck at that. So just recognize that we fucking suck at that and quit trying to cram it into your life, and you'll be much better off. You know, quit trying to be like, oh, I'm going to just deny everything I like in my life in order to pay off this student loan, because you'll do a great job at that for 2 months and then you'll fucking rebound. Okay? Just find something that works for you month to month. Figure out a plan that works to you month to month. And remember, just take those little cuts out. You know what I mean? It's Hitler through time. And so, yeah, maybe your student loan debt has bought them a tank. And your interest isn't buying them a tank, but, you know, it's one bullet. You're robbing past Hitler from his bank of one bullet at a time. And that's one bullet that, you know, isn't going into your grandpa. All right? Just think about it like that. Would you reduce the chances of a bullet going into your grandpa by, you know, 1/1,000,000,000% if you could without doing a whole lot? Of course you would. So there you go. That's all you got to do. Whatever crazy-ass scenario you have to have in your head, I suggest anything involving Hitler, do it. And then you'll be debt-free. Congratulations.
You're not going to say it, somebody should. Let's talk about two time. Let's talk about bum one, yeah. Asking the questions that nobody could. Like, where are the bone dogs and are they in harmony?